Well, my friends, it is wonderful to be gathered here once again in our Father's house. All right, everybody scrambling for seats. It's great to have power. Anyway, folks, it is incredible to be in here. And today we're just starting today another sermon series, and this is going to be a sermon series on the family. Today we're going to be dealing with marriage, which is, it's kind of important in the family. Like, you know, what kind of starts the whole family thing. And God's got a lot to say about marriage, and so it'll be fun to dig into scripture and to see what God has to say there. But for now, let us now turn our attention toward God. So many things happening in this world, so many things distracting, so many things worrying at us. Even like what we're going to have for lunch right after church is probably working on some of your minds already. But let us as best as we can, turn our attention toward God. This is holy time, time that has been set apart for our relationship with Him, time that we get to spend focused on Him, adoring Him, receiving from Him, giving thanks and praise to Him for all that He has done for us. And so let us make this time holy, set apart, and let us begin our service, remembering the day that we were brought into the family of God in our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, You are the God of all, the God that knows what we need fast before us, Lord, and just You know what we're dealing with right now. You know the struggles in our lives. And what's even more amazing than that, Lord, is none of these struggles are beyond Your ability to heal. Lord, I pray that You would continue to be with us this day. Lord, as we spend some time in Your presence, receiving from Your word, thank You, Lord, that You meet us here because we need You. Thank You, Jesus, for all of this. In Your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us sing. Nope, let's confess. Sorry. Just trying to get to the fun part. I'm kidding. All right, let us confess our sins before God, my friends. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto You all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended You and justly deserve Your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray You of Your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of Your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, Your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Your blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit. Submission, all is at rest. I am the Savior, I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His good.
My name is Lars. I'm one of the elders, and it's my privilege to read the first reading for you. Our first reading comes from John 13, 3 through 14. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and then was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then the Lord, Simon Peter, replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew that who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he finished washing their feet, he put his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." This is the word of the Lord.
Word of God for today is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. "Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." All right, it is now time for the children's message. So kids, if you guys want to come forward at this time, Mrs. Brevard has the message for us today.
Good morning. In our Bible verse this morning, we talked about Jesus washing something. What did Jesus wash? Catherine? His disciples' feet. That's right. He washed his feet. So is washing feet something you'd want to do? Probably not. But in the Bible, washing the feet was the lowest job that someone could do. And Jesus did it willingly. He wasn't asked to do it. He just did it. So we have a cloth. Is my cloth clean or is it dirty?
Clean.
So this is a cloth, kind of like what Jesus used, that he could use to wash his disciples' feet. His disciples' feet were dirty because they were walking on dirt. They were full of dirt and full of dust. But Jesus washed his feet. That was when Jesus was being a servant. He was showing his love by serving others by washing their feet. How are ways you can serve others? Catherine? If you see someone without food and you have food, you can give them food. Exactly. Nola? If somebody's hurt, you can help them up. Georgia? If somebody doesn't have money, you can give them some money. Those are all really great ways. Is it always easy to do that? Not always. Sometimes we don't have money. Can you put money in there? Sometimes we don't have money to give others who need money. Sometimes we don't have food to give those who need food.
That's right, food next.
Yeah. Help someone when they're hurt. Sometimes we don't have the time. Sometimes we're so busy we don't have time.
That's right, time on there too.
Yeah. If you don't have time, what? You can still do it, yes. So there are things that get in the way. Time gets in the way because we're too busy. We don't have money to do stuff. We don't have the supplies that we need. So now, our cloth is not clean anymore. Is this a cloth that you'd want to wipe your face with? Probably not, because it's dirty. But if we take all of these things that prevent us from serving others, if we take all that to Jesus, because this makes our heart dirty. So if we take all of these to Jesus, and then he will give us a clean heart. Watch this. Go ahead. We're going to see what happens. Just like we want to serve others with love, Jesus wants us to have a clean heart. So if we take all of these things preventing us to Jesus, he will clean our heart. So we got most of it off. I did it at home. She did not. So she's learning herself. Look at that, she says. So she's even impressed. So if we take our things to Jesus, he will clean our heart, and we can serve others with a loving heart, just like Jesus did. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Jesus, please be with us as we serve others. Please clean our hearts like you want them to be clean, and help us serve others. In your name we pray. Amen.
I've done that illustration before. It never comes clean. All you can say is, well, this didn't work, but when Jesus does, it does work. That's the only way I could make it ever land. But anyway, hey folks, listen. We're here to talk about marriage today. Now, this is an interesting subject, because it's not like anybody ever fights over it. We have all kinds of different ideas and models of marriage out in the world today. We have people who think that marriage is a bad idea, something that should be avoided. After all, it requires way too much work. We have people out there who are trying to redefine marriage and make it into something God didn't intend it to be. But I guess the real question is, what is marriage, and what is it that God intends in marriage? And I love the way God likes to start. God's not gentle. Have you noticed this? He starts out by saying, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Well, that's a mouthful. You know what I'm saying? I mean, do you know this guy? Submit to him like I do to the Lord? He's not God. You know? He's not that perfect. He gets a lot of stuff wrong. You know, my wife and I have been married for going on 33 years. Wait, is that right? Close? Okay, good. Anyway, she knows how messed up I am. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's no hiding stuff for 33 years. It's all going to be out there. And yet God says to her, submit. Now, in today's world, that's fighting words, you know? I mean, the entire idea of submitting to another person, we don't like this kind of talk. We want to be independent. We want to be respected. We want to be free. We want to make our own decisions. We are not into the whole submission thing, you know? I mean, I'm not exactly a terribly faithful rule follower, believe it or not. My wife and I like to joke, as we try as best we can to follow the rules, but we balk at it because it's not our natural way. that rules were made for the people who don't know any better. But since we know better, we shouldn't have to follow the rules, right? It's funny how we resist submission, as if submitting makes us less, right? But here's something that I've observed in Scripture. First, Jesus is God. All right? Jesus submitted to the Father. Do you understand the implications of that? I mean, because we have Trinitarian theology, right? We understand the idea of God as three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Which one is in charge? Well, all of them. They're equal, right? There's not one that's greater than the other. They are an eternal unity of three persons in one God. All of them are individual and separate from each other, yet one God. They are unified in purpose, unified in vision, unified in all things, yet the Son, when he was on this earth, submitted himself to the plan of the Father. And in doing so, did he make himself less? And the answer is no. He didn't make himself less. He was still a member of the Trinity, still co-equal with the Father, of the same substance. He is the same in dignity, the same in value, the same. So how does that work? If submission in our minds makes us less, does it really make us less? Because here's the next thing that I observe in Scripture is that we are all to submit to Christ, right? In fact, that's just before this passage, that's what they're talking about, is that all of us submit to Christ. In other words, whatever it is that God wants, that's what we want to do, right? That our desires, our selfishness, our ideas of how the world should work, these all need to be subjugated to whatever it is God is doing, right? And what that means is, if I really, really, really want to retire at 35, number one, 20 years too late. But nevertheless, if I really, really, really wanted to do such a thing, but God had other plans, whose plan do we follow? This is what it means to live in submission. Now, does me living in submission to Jesus make me less? Well, no. In fact, when I live in submission to Jesus, it's because Jesus has died for me. Jesus has put me first. Jesus did what was necessary so that I can live in this relationship with him in the first place, right? So with this relationship that I now have with God, having received forgiveness, having received new life, having received new identity, having received the certainty of my eternal life, having received all this, have I become less or have I become more? So that now I can live in submission to the one who saved me. You see how this goes? Our brains have been so programmed by sinful thoughts and messed up philosophies to think that submission means less. It does not mean less. It's just the way God plans things out. That when we were lost, the Father made a plan of salvation. And Jesus, because he is in agreement with the Father and loves us, walked out that plan of salvation, not making him less, but making him more. And then he tells us that because of the salvation he has given us, we are to live in submission to him. And that when we live in that relationship with God that he has created for us, we are his children. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the object of his love and affection. And we live out that faith in submission to him because we know who he is and we know who we are. And this is arranged because this is how it works, right? So all of us live in submission to Christ as Christ lives in submission to the Father. It is a beautiful thing. And then we get to the marriage. And in the marriage, we have the wife who, according to Scripture, must live, submit herself to her husband as she does to the Lord. Is that going to be easy? I mean, we don't always make it easy to respect us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it can be really hard because, again, after years and years and years of marriage, all the weaknesses are well known. So how is that supposed to work? Well, it's probably time to talk about the husband's job. His job, now get this, soak this in. It's small, it's not that big of a deal. His job is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and sacrificed himself for the church. Okay, remember Good Friday? Remember watching the Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ, remember? Who here does not want to watch that movie again? Because it's like, okay, I've seen it, I'm done. Sort of like a Schindler's List type of a situation where it's like, I know it happened, I just don't want to have to look at it all the time, right? Because it is so terribly unpleasant what Jesus suffered on our behalf, right? That's the kind of love husbands need to have for their wives. That. So easy, right? I mean, no big deal. And it's not just that suffering and death. That was a good example. I mean, that's the culmination, the big event that we look to. But Jesus continues to love us before that event and after that event. He continues to serve us. He continues to pour himself out for us because that is his place and his role in the plan of the Father. And husbands, this is your place and your role in the plan of the Father through the Son. This is what we do. And the thing is that this is another one of those places where I've heard, you know, all kinds of questions and controversies and stuff, and they say, well, the husband is supposed to lead his family, and then there's other people who say that the father is supposed to serve his family, and they make that a conflict, but it's not a conflict. It is the picture. Husbands, our job is to serve our families. We don't get to be selfish. Jesus made every decision, every choice, every act in service to the people that the Father sent him to love. He didn't go do whatever he wanted all the time. There was even times when people would come to Jesus and ask him to do something, and he would say, "I'm sorry, it's not the time for that yet. It's not the Father's plan yet." So it's not like Jesus used his godness to come down here and get his way and do whatever he wanted. Exactly the opposite. He was here to serve and love us because that was the Father's plan for him. And again, was he subservient to the Father? Only by choice, not because he was less than the Father. You understand how this works? And so as we serve our wife, what is it that we should be doing? In fact, in other words, what does that service look like? What does it look like to take care of your wife? What does it look like? Does it mean just do whatever she wants all the time? Because that's not going to work either. Because remember we talked about how messed up the guys are? How can I say this gently? We're all messed up. You know, I mean, we just are. We are all selfish. We want what we want. We think we see the world the way it ought to be, and we just get frustrated when it isn't that way. And we insist on the people around us making it the way we want it to be. We want what we want. And if the husband's job is to serve the wife, does that mean that she just gets whatever she wants all the time? Here's the thing. When Jesus was here among us, living in submission to the Father, serving the people, did he just do whatever they wanted all the time? Or did he do what was necessary to bring those people that he was serving, those disciples, the people who came to hear his sermons and his talks and stuff, that he was to bring them into a proper relationship with God through his ministry? And so here's the thing, is that husbands, we're supposed to sacrifice and serve our families, and especially, first and foremost, our wife. But we do it according to the God that we are submitting to. You understand? That in serving our wife, we never stop submitting to Christ. And Christ has a plan for your family. He says, this is how I want you to live. He has a plan for your wife. He says, this is the relationship I want with you. And the husband recognizes that the wife is a precious, unbelievably precious person in the eyes of God. And because he knows that, and because she is his wife and he is responsible, he will then serve her in a way that will bring her into a closer and healthier relationship with God every single day. Does this happen easily and naturally? Does this happen without study and prayer? Does this happen without a lot of effort? No. It takes work. It takes us focusing our attention, men, focusing our attention on the plans that our God has for our wife, to understand the promises that he makes, because it's important, because your wife is going to worry from time to time. Her faith is going to slip from time to time. She's going to get anxious from time to time. She's going to have wrong ideas about her own value and the value of the people around her. Things are going to happen like this. And if you're not sharp, are you going to be best able to help her, to serve her by reminding her of the truths that God has revealed to all of us? And to help her to grow into an ever closer relationship with the God who died for her so that she could be saved. And gentlemen, this is our job. Our job is to dedicate ourselves to following Christ by working with our wife. And then if God gives us children, to work with them. And ladies, guess what? You're just in the next position then. Because at that point, your life is going to be to serve the children. Dads too, right? But let's face it, who does most of the work? Right? Yeah. I mean, who's the one that's actually like, how can I say, naturally capable of doing this in a way that a lot of guys are not, right? And so the thing is that your job then is to follow your husband as he follows Christ, as the Christ follows the Father, to serve the children and to give them everything that they need so that they can continue to grow. Does that make the women less? But does that make marriage better? So here's the thing. I think a lot of times we're tempted to fix things, which is a good thing. I'm a big fixer, you know. My kid brings me a car with broken brakes. I fix it. It's what I do. But when we try to fix things that God designs, it doesn't work. It would kind of say that we are smarter than God, that we understand what a good marriage is better than God himself. This is not a good place to stand in opposition to the will of God. And we can't expect it to actually work. The reason that we struggle with this so much is because we've allowed our brains to be tainted with the whole concept of power relationships. You know, the question is, well, who's in charge? Well, that means they've got all the power, right? Thing is that this is not the way God operates. God operates in a series of submissions. And our job is to submit to God. And in doing so, submit to one another. That we would hold each other up as vitally important. As in most things, we're going to get this wrong more than we get it right. To have the right image in front of us is really, really vitally important. But we're still going to get this wrong more than we get it right because we are selfish and we want what we want. And that keeps bleeding through. Even though we try to suppress it, we try to bring it in submission to God, we confess it before God, and then it sneaks back into our life. The illustration that I love so much is when, you know, that we talk about in baptism, we are buried with Christ by baptism, that the old man is killed and buried, yet it's like the night of the living dead. And the old man just tries to climb back out of the grave. And our job is to keep him down there. But he does sneak out. And we cause trouble with our selfishness and our lack of submission to Christ and to each other. And as unfaithful as we are, Jesus' submission to the Father and his love and service to us never ends. It never slips. It never goes away. God's forgiveness is incredibly solid. And so we live in this place where we have the freedom to work again at it, the freedom to reapproach our marriages, the freedom to serve one another, the freedom to submit to Christ and his plan for the marriages that he has given us. It's very hard to get the rest of family life right if we struggle with this. If we start out without submission, explaining the rest of God's plan doesn't mean a lot because we're probably not going to follow it anyway. You know what I'm saying? And so, folks, today I just want to lay this in front of you folks. This is the image that God has for marriage. Struggle with it. I mean, this isn't one of those things that you're just going to go, oh, I understand, and then do it after that. I mean, this is going to be one of those things that you're going to struggle with, struggle to get it right. But let's struggle together. Let's work at this together. When we have troubles with this, don't just struggle alone. Talk to other Christians. You know, it's one of those things where we have a bunch of older people in this church, which I'm rapidly becoming. We've all went through a lot of the struggles. You don't have to make all the mistakes yourself. You can talk to us and learn from the dumb things that we did and hopefully save yourself some pain. I think we live in this life where it's like everybody comes to church and we put on our church face and everything is going to be good and we just need to project to everybody else that our lives are all together and there's nothing wrong. And we all know that's a lie. So let's just stop. And let's be honest with each other so that we can continue to pray for one another and encourage each other as we grow in this relationship with God. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your incredible love, for your unbelievable passion, Lord, for us, for you, Jesus, for your submission to the Father so that the plan of salvation that he created is true. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to live in submission to you and to your plan, especially for marriage. Jesus, we love you. Help us, Lord, to walk out this faith. In your name we pray. Amen.
Yours, all yours, all yours, all yours, forever. let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart.
Let us now confess our faith using the words of the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand as we confess. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite forward all the first through third graders who have come to receive their Bibles today. If you guys would come forward at this time with your families. Nope, you guys can stay right out on the rail. Sorry. Otherwise, I won't know where to go. All right, my friends. Well, here's the deal. We're just starting talking about marriage today, but family is kind of a big deal to God, and because it's a big deal to God, it's a big deal to us. And what we're all about here today is we are talking about one of the steps in passing on the faith to the next generation of people. And we've got these little people who we're teaching. And it's very appropriate that we would be teaching them. We read them little Bible storybooks and all that kind of stuff, and they're learning and they're growing. But the real goal is that at one point they would be competent to read the Bible for themselves, and that they would be able to feed themselves directly from God's word, and that we would give them everything that they need to do so. But the first step is to actually give them their Bible. And so today, that is what we are going to do. And so here's what we're doing. I'm going to give you their Bible, and the parents, the families have come up with a Bible verse that we're going to read, and I will read for them. All right? Nola, your parents picked Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Can we pray? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with little Nola, Lord, as she reads your word and grows in her faith. Help her, Lord, to love you and trust you better every day. In your name we pray. Amen. And here you go, sweetheart. All right, Georgia. Your parents chose Jude, verses 1 and 2. To those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for the faith that you've given Georgia. I pray that you would continue to help her, Lord, to trust in you always so she can always have your peace. In your name we pray, amen. There you go. Phoenix, your parents picked... You're scared of me. I'm kidding. Your parents picked Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for Phoenix, Lord, and the work that you are doing in her life and the way that you are helping her to know you. Lord, I pray that you would guard and protect her always so that she can continue, Lord, to follow you and give you praise. All this we pray in your name we pray. Amen. There you go, sweetheart. And Ellie, your parents picked Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for Ellie and the faith that you have put in her heart. Lord, I pray that you would grow that faith, Lord, so that in all times she can have confidence, knowing that you are the one who knows and you are the one who is watching over her. In your name we pray. Amen. And Beckett, for you, your parents chose Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Beckett, Lord. I pray that you would continue to help him to remember your promises, Lord, of your forgiveness and your strength and your guidance in this world. Send your spirit to work in his heart and mind, Lord, so that he can be powerful as he speaks for you in this world. All this we pray in your name. Amen. There you go. All right. And then we also have, I'll give this to parents, okay? This is a package so that you guys can continue to help your children to discover their Bible and get comfortable using it. And this is some exercises that you guys can do together. All right? With that, God's blessings as you continue to raise your children in the faith and the submission to our God. Amen. All right. And then with that, let us stand as we pray. As we get into praying today, I do want to give you an update on our brother Ed Ployer, who is continuing to recover from heart surgery. He is finally being brought out of, what do they call that, sedation. And so he is starting to wake up, and he's starting to talk back again, which is a good sign. We'll take that. We also want to be praying for Steve and Denise, who are currently on a disaster relief trip in Dyersburg, Tennessee. So we want to keep them there in our prayers. All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the children that you have given us, Lord, the children in the school, the children who received their Bibles today, the children who are, all the children, Lord, that are in our orbit, that are, Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to raise them in the faith, continue to speak of you and of your love, of your great deeds, so that they can know you, Lord, and have confidence in all the promises that you have given us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our marriages. Lord, that our marriages would reflect your desires, Lord, and the truth that you have revealed to us so that they can be healthy and so that we can be healthy and so that we can serve you, Lord, with all of our passion, Lord, as we follow you together. Lord, I pray that you would be with Ed, Lord, and just continue to bless him, Lord, with healing. Lord, I pray that you would help him to recover quickly, that he would be able to regain his strength and return to the work that you have for him, Lord, especially that family that loves him so much. And Lord, I pray that you would be with Denise and Steve as they are our ambassadors, Lord, to the people who are suffering from disaster. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, fill them with passion, Lord, so that they can be an encouragement to those with whom they serve and to those whom they serve. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bring peace and unity to our nation. Lord, there is so much division. There is so much anger. There is so much venom. Lord, I pray that you would Help us, Lord. Help us to speak of your love and of your peace so that the world may once again live in the peace that you have worked out for us. Lord, all these things we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Speak the name of Jesus over you, in your hurting, in your sorrow. I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name.
The dead will come alive.
My dear friends, we have once again received an incredible gift from God in his body and blood, that the Jesus who died for us gave himself for us. And in this meal, we receive the benefit of that sacrifice, the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation that he wants us so desperately to have. And so as we know his word is true, his promise is true, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. Please have a seat. Any kids that are heading to Sunday school, you guys can head out to the lobby right now and meet with Lauren, and she will take you over to the gym and all that down there. And the rest of you, a few announcements. First of all, dying to donate. The school is inviting you to Culver's fundraising night tomorrow from 5 till 8. And that's good from if you're inside or even through the drive-through. St. Mark's is getting 15% of the sales. So come and be a part of that. And yes, Culver's is now open again. I know. That was tragic. It was very, very traumatic. My custard fixation can now be soothed once again. All right. Also, the our life team ministry has had a suicide awareness class scheduled for October. It is going to be rescheduled in April. And let's see here now. There's a video. We have a video. Outstanding. Basically, it works like this. Janine started, and my wife started a grief share ministry that served a lot of people here. But it's getting to be a lot for her. And so the Sacred Heart and us are kind of sharing that ministry now. And she's kind of helped mentor them getting it started. And now they're going to start the first their first session coming up. Is it tomorrow night as they start? Yeah, tomorrow night. But they have a video for us. All right. And then I think that's everything I have for you today. God's blessings on your weeks, folks. I'll see you in the back. I can't wait to greet you.